Acts chapter 4, verse 18 and 20 through 20. Acts chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. Then they called them in again. Can you read that for me?
Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in the sight of God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Drone. You may be seated in the presence of God. Lord, I thank you for your power and your grace. Please bring your word like only you can. Amen. I want to preach to you from the subject of stand down for what? Stand down for what? Have you ever had to stand up for something you believe in? When we stand, it's normally because there is some sort of opposition facing us. So we have to muster up the courage and take action to stand against the opposition. Our world is polluted with so many images that aren't Christ-like, and we have to daily take a stand for purity and wholeness. We can't let garbage into our mind and heart. We have to take a stand against anything that would hinder our relationship with God. See, we all have weaknesses and temptations. And we also face moments in our faith where we have to take a stand against things that try to hinder where God desires us to be. The only way we can live a God-honoring life is by taking a stand. In Acts chapter 4, we see some men who take a stand for their faith in Christ. In Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John standing up for Christ. Through God's power, they healed a man. And the Sadducees, the religious folk, the church folk, didn't like this or the message they were preaching. So they arrested Peter and John and put them on trial. But during the trial, the court realized that they had no legal right to keep them. Before they let Peter and John go, they threatened them. Let's look at the threat and the response of Peter and John. What just Reverend Drone read so eloquently, they said, "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eye, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.' The religious men told Peter and John to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. They told them to bow down and denounce their faith in Christ. They told them to stop living out the very purpose of their being. And in this moment, after just being arrested, Peter and John stood up for Christ. Even though they were facing threats, they took a stand and told the leaders they would keep preaching and teaching Christ. In life, we may face people or things that try to get us to stop living for Christ. This could be caused by a temptation from the evil one, a relationship, a family member, a job, a friend, or even a tragic and unexpected event. This is why Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13 says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." Paul wouldn't use this verbiage if we were not going to face opposition, people, places, and things that would try to get us to back down instead of stand up. Peter and John faced major opposition. They were arrested, put in prison, and threatened, but they continued to stand for Christ. So let's look at what happened in Acts 4 when they did what they did. See, today I want to talk about three things. Well, my friend, Sister Reba, she in here. I saw her, but then here you go. I got 3 points, Sister Reba. I'm going down because you always tell me you like the little points, so this is what we're going to talk about. Number one, first, Jesus is our foundation. In Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John take a strong stand for Christ in the face of people who wanted to throw them in prison and even destroy their lives. One key reason Peter and John were able to stand firm in their faith is because Jesus was their foundation. Their lives were built on the solid rock of Christ. Look at Acts 4, 8 through 12. I'm pacing myself this morning. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Peter believed that Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus was his everything. Jesus was his foundation. They were walking and talking in the name of Jesus Christ. They knew that salvation was found in no one else. Their lives were all about Jesus. He was their foundation. When Jesus is our cornerstone, no matter what we face in life, we have a firm foundation to stand. We can stand on him for him, and we can walk in his strength, talk in his strength, and live in his strength. Everything we are and do is about him. See, Jesus has to be the cornerstone. Jesus is the foundation. I have a problem sometimes, even at my own house. I have a problem when people put their names on cornerstones. That's when people begin to think they own facilities, and they begin to think they own churches, because the only name that should be on cornerstones, the only name that should be the mighty rock of God, is Jesus Christ himself. And sometimes we get into the place where we think we own God's house. The pastor don't own it. Don't care how long he's been here. The members don't own it. Don't care how long they've been here. Nobody owns the church but God. I don't care if you founded a church in your living room. I don't care if you built it brick by brick by yourself. I don't care if you got the brick and mortar. I don't care if you went and got the water and the pipes. I don't care if you started with your mama and your daddy. Nobody owns church but God. That's why the church crumbles in opposition. That's why the church can't handle Charlottesville, because the church think they own the church. They don't understand that the rock that is built on the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. Oh, I want to talk to somebody right now. The church is crumbling because they think names run churches. The church is crumbling because they think pastors run churches. The church is crumbling because they think deacons run churches. The church is crumbling because they think trustees run churches. The church is crumbling because they think everybody runs the church. God don't care nothing about your opinion. He don't care about my opinion either. Only thing he want to know is, I'm going to let him order my steps in his word. Are you going to let him order your steps? Are you going to let him be the puppet master? Or are you going to try to run your own life? I'm tired of seeing Bumble Theater talking about God, my co-pilot. If he your co-pilot, baby, you done already had a fatal accident. He is the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. You can face anything. It don't matter what comes against you. If he's your cornerstone and your foundation, it doesn't matter what comes against the church or your life. You will be able to stand, because he is the author and finisher of your faith. He's the cornerstone, not you. He's the cornerstone, not me. He's the cornerstone, not the deacons. He's the cornerstone, not the trustees. He's the cornerstone, not the lady with the big hats. He's the cornerstone. Once you realize that Jesus is the cornerstone, you won't fear nothing. You wonder why people can walk around boldly no matter what happens in their life. It's because they understand that on the solid rock they stand. Come on, somebody. Every other ground is seeking sand. If you stand on Jesus, you will never sink. You will never fall. You might lose some battles, but I promise you, baby, you won't lose the war. You might get battered. You might get bruised. Your teeth may get knocked out, but you won't lose the fight. He never promised you that no weapon would be formed, but he promised you that it would not prosper. I dare you to go to work and go with the blood of Jesus on your life. I dare you to go to work and anoint yourself with oil. Don't worry about them folk at your job and in them cubicles. If Jesus is your rock, we're going to face trouble. But he is our strength. But we can take a stand when we make Jesus our foundation. We won't grow weary. I know they say certain things don't crack, but if you ain't got Jesus, you will. Jesus is your foundation. Just like Peter and John, we must make Jesus our foundation, the cornerstone we build our life on.
Jesus is the cornerstone. That's number one. Jesus is our foundation. He's the cornerstone. Not you. Not me. So if you want to talk about my sermon, talk about he talked about himself too. Jesus is the cornerstone in your life, and some of us don't even know that, even though we've been in church for years. Some people think when they stop giving, the church gonna die. Church ain't die because you stop. Jesus gonna take care of his house regardless. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to talk to some people today. Numbers of giving have gone down, but giving has gone up. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When Jesus is the foundation of your life, you don't worry because it ain't your life. It ain't my life. I don't own my life no way. That's why I'm like, God, yeah, go ahead and handle every opposition. Go ahead and handle every naysayer, because I don't have no choice but to do what you want me to do anyway. When you start walking around and knowing you don't have a choice and God is going to do whatever it is he want to do in your life with your cooperation or not, you will say, you know what, God, use me however you want to use me. I'll be obedient and I'll do it with great exceeding joy. Stop trying to kick against God's plan. You're going to have to do it anyhow. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have to walk out the plan of God in your life. So you may as well make him your foundation and let him be your puppet master. And whatever he tells you to do, do it. Number two. Sister Reba thought I got lost, but number two. We have to obey God in the midst of opposition. Facing opposition isn't a matter of if, but when. Which means we have many opportunities to obey or disobey. God hasn't called us to just believe. Our faith must be vibrant, active faith that we live out. Peter and John had a vibrant, active faith. Huh? Remember Eddie Murphy, "What have you done for me lately?" joke. God may be asking some of us the same thing, because all of us talk about what we used to do. We used to have church like this. That one don't go no more. We used to step two times to the left, then to the right. Now they're going two times to the right, then to the left. I don't understand it. Look at 8:4:18 through 20. Try not to scare my first time visitors away. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in the eyes of God, to listen to you or him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." This came down to whether Peter and John would stand and obey God or bow down and give in to their fears, logic, and doubt. Logic could mess you up. You know why I say walk by faith and not by sight? Because the devil can play with your mind. He's the little g god of circumstance. He's the little g god of the world. Remember we learned that the word world comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means the order or the arrangement of things, which means cosmetology, like women put on makeup. Sometimes they may look good, sometimes they may not, but if they can paint their face good enough. But sometimes the devil will paint your life and make it look bad, but it don't look bad because God knows what it is. See, faith is more real than what you see. That way you got to walk by faith and not by sight. But the reason you got to walk by faith and not by sight is the only thing the devil can play with is your mind. And when you walk by faith, you don't even know why you're doing it. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Can I talk to somebody? I don't even want to get in there. I don't want to add a business out. But no, let me go on and talk. We were looking at this thing, and people kept saying, the loan people keep calling, "Well, I see it's listed for this and this, and I see two buildings." Well, how you get three buildings? Favor. And when you walk by faith and not by sight, I didn't care what people say they weren't going to sell. This what I want. This what God told me that he promised us. So I don't care if they saying they're going to sell it right now or not. And I got a call from my trusty Shaw. He said, they say they're going to sell everything. Yeah, because I don't want to listen to everything, because God said we're going to have everything. I don't want just a little bit of thing. I don't care nothing about your opinion, because I don't care about mine. If I cared about my opinion, when we sold the church in Atlanta, I would have got $60,000 commission, because it should have been mine. But God said, give it away. It don't matter about my opinion nor yours.
When you come against opposition, baby, you got to say, for God I live and for God I die. And as for me and my house, I'm going to do what God tells me to do, because I'd rather get shot and killed by you than to walk in the pits of hell and God say, get ye behind me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. No, baby, you can hate me right now. But when I get up and out of my seat and I go to heaven, I want to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. What hell is the devil putting at you that you scared to stand on? I welcome opposition, because that means I'm doing something right. If I ever get 100% vote on something, I'm going to rethink it. Ain't nobody mad. I don't know if I heard God right. If ain't nobody fussing, Jesus, I ain't hear you. Whenever you do something, everybody agree with you. Come on, somebody. That ain't what God called you to do. Because if ain't nobody mad, you ain't mad, not one demon mad, you ain't doing nothing. It's your vision. Unless you get some opposition, because God said he prepares a place before me in the presence of my enemies. And if I don't have no enemies, my vision must be too small, and it ain't of God, it is of me. Everybody get mad. I need to take them out to eat, because I know must be God. See, y'all think that when you do something for God, everybody gonna agree with you. If everybody agreed with God, Jesus would have never went to the cross. You do know Jesus went to the cross, right? And you know he said he's the master, and they hated him without cause, Sister Lynn. And he said if they hated him without cause, they gonna hate you too. He said you'll receive 100-fold in this lifetime with persecutions. Huh? You know what he said? You're going to get 100-fold blessing, but you're going to get some persecutions too. You need to understand it's not a whether of if you're going to meet opposition, it's when you're going to meet opposition. And are you going to be able to stand? Are you going to be able to do what God has told you to do in the face of opposition? Or will you sit down and cower down? Oh, Peter and John, only listen to God. They not only listened to him, though, they also obeyed and did what God told them to do. See, a lot of us read the word. But James tells us in chapter 1, verse 22, that don't just read the word, you need to do the word. Some of us read the word and can remember the whole Bible like the book of Eli with Denzel Washington. But it ain't in our heart, it's just in our mind. And we don't walk by faith, we walk by sight. We read scriptures every day, but to sit up there and call somebody out of their name all the time, we'll sit there and gossip, kick against the church, kick against the pastor, kick against the leadership, kick against the deacons, kick against the trustee, kick against everything in church, but we know the word. We know the word. The Bible says some of you do your prophet harm and think you're doing right. But let me tell you something. If you continue, this is what you need to be secure in, saints. The Bible says that it's better for somebody to tie an anchor around their neck and cast themselves in the sea than to touch you. It's better for you to just jump in the fire. Faith in God saying just kill yourself. Come on now. The Bible said, doesn't that mean put an anchor around your neck and jump in the sea? Can you do that and survive? It's better just throw yourself in the fire. Just, you feel me? Some of you worry about opposition. But when you're standing by God, Isaiah says that the fire shall not burn you and the water shall not overtake you. If you look at Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, that's what it said. You shall not be burned in the fire. The water shall not overtake you. I need you to understand, stop worrying about your job. If you can't handle that cubicle hate, you can't get the front office. If you're in a cubicle and you can't handle them one joker or two that's coming against you, when you get the corner office, you're going to have more than that. You do know that, right? You got to be able to stand in opposition. How can you be more than an overcomer if you don't have anything to overcome? How can you be more than a conqueror if you don't have anything to conquer? God allows obstacles to be put in your life so you can fulfill scripture. If you really follow the life and the ministry of Jesus, he always said, I did this to fulfill scripture. I'm doing this to fulfill scripture. Well, you shall walk through the valley of the shadow death, but you shall not be messed up, because his rod and his staff shall comfort you. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're doing it to fulfill scripture. When a weapon is formed against you, you're doing it to fulfill scripture, so you can prove that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When somebody comes and gets you like a flood, it's to show you that even when your enemy comes at you like a flood, your God shall always keep you and never forsake you. When you get fired from your job, it's just to show that he shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. When you go through bad times, it's just so you can look over your life and say, I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. The main challenge, Deacon McClendon, is obeying God in the midst of opposition. I done been sparring in the kingdom so long that I just wait on the fight. It don't even bother me no more. I feel like I just got to go through. I feel like when you look at the Columbo or you look at Monk and you see they always solve the crime, yet people always play them like they dumb. I just feel like it's just another episode in kingdom ministry. I'm going to have some opposition. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. When we going to get through this scene? Take five, Jesus Christ. People coming against the vision, part five, and sing. That's how I feel. Because it's a fixed fight. It's already determined by God that you win. So when you're going through the stuff that the devil throws at you, stop crying about it and understand that you know what? This too shall pass. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. I'm going to be victorious. It's just another scene in your movie, but you the star. Huh? 9 times out of 10, we know Denzel ain't going to die. He the star. Everybody get shot around him. He's still living. So he can be in part two. You the star. You not going to die. Unless you listen to me and you coming to get somebody from the kingdom, you may. They go on and cover both sides of that coin. You don't want to come against anointed folk and think. See, we say this. God ain't never said this. Church, God is good. And all the time, God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. God ain't say that. You said that. Because if you come against me, you're going to recognize God ain't good all the time. And that's how you got to be in your life. God may not be good to your enemies. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Let me get out of here because y'all can't handle this type of preaching. See, they were thrown in prison, beaten down. Common sense would have said, shut your mouth. Huh? Somebody beating you to death? Shut up. You know when somebody be fighting and they still talking, you losing, dude. Shut up. Be quiet. You don't get killed. Shh. Just stay down. Don't get up. You're losing. Common sense take you to stay down. But Peter and John didn't care about getting beat down because they knew who they were standing for. They knew that God was going to deliver them. But you know what I like about them three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They said, God going to deliver us, King Nebuchadnezzar, but if he don't, it don't even matter. You got to get to the point in your life where you don't care if you live or if you die. You don't care what happens. You say, I'm going to stand for right. I'm going to stand on my principles. I don't care if you fire me. God going to save my job, but even if he don't, I'll be all right, because I've never seen the right to forsaken, nor his seed leave begging for bread. You might let me go. I might get furloughed because I didn't do what you wanted me to do, but I'm going to stand on my principle. Maybe God won't deliver me, but I know one thing. I won't open up my eyes in hell. I'm going to do what God has commanded me to do, whether you like it or not. Oh, somebody better.
Number three. Let me get number two out of the way all the way, though. Living for Christ ain't easy. I believe in prosperity, but if I preach prosperity to you every Sunday, get rid of me or go to another church. Because God didn't ever say you was going to be blessed without opposition. If somebody tell you living for Christ is easy, I'll show you somebody who's going straight to hell. They ain't doing nothing for God. They ain't doing what God's telling them to do. They doing whatever they want to do. If you living for God, it ain't easy. He going to reward you and give you double for your trouble, but it ain't easy. It's not easy to do what God wants you to do, because when you do it, you're going to have opposition. The problem is, you need to understand, the solution is you need to understand that you win. All right, number three. When we stand for Jesus, he shines through us. Number one, he's a foundation. Two, you're going to go through opposition. Three, when you do stand in opposition and you stand for Jesus, he shines through us. Look, it's powerful to watch what happens when Peter and John stand firm in their faith. Acts 4:4 says, but many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. That's one day. Because they stood firm, many people heard the message of Christ and believed. Many people were snatched out of the darkness and snatched into the marvelous light. They went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of heaven. Two men stood firm in their faith in the midst of opposition, and people started being saved. You know why you're going through your hell? It's when you're going through your hell on your job, at your church, or wherever you are, you're going through that hell so God can get the attention of your enemies and your friends. And he's getting everybody attention. You ain't nothing but a reality show. You thought Donald Trump was a reality show? No, you're a reality show for the kingdom. And sometimes God allows opposition to be released against you just so he can show the power that will happen if they stand, and when you stand in the name of Jesus. Nobody, people that didn't even know Jesus was, they remember what they really said, bro. What they said was this: when they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary folk, they really believed. I can only imagine with us growing and doing In Touch and all these things we do in the city, that ignorant Negro that preach up there doing all that, that ain't nothing but God, because he ain't got no sense. God uses the foolishness of man to confine the wise. Why? Because God never wants you to be able to say you did it. When you understand, oh, come on, somebody. If you could just get smart enough to know you dumber than God, God will do some powerful things in your life. He's using you as an example. Did you lose your job and you did right? God is just using you for a reality show for the kingdom. Because when he brings you out of that mess and puts you where you need to be, you're going to be getting paid double time what you're getting right now. God allows you to go through opposition so that when you stand, he shines through you and he glorifies himself in your life. God can't get no glory out of no ordinary life. Y'all know something about ordinary lives? They boring. I don't want no ordinary life. I don't like to be bored. If you bored, you ain't really doing that for God. Because if you're doing something for God, you're going to have a soap opera life, child. Somebody going to be trying to kill you. Somebody going to be lying on you. Somebody going to be plotting on you. Somebody going to be mean mugging you. Somebody going to be talking about you. Somebody going to try to put you in a scandal. They're going to try to destroy you and pull you off of some throne that they thought you put yourself on. But when they realize you standing on the rock of Jesus Christ and he just exalted himself through your life, they're going to know they need to stand down. Oh, you better not hear me. I'm just preaching my own little way today. I'm going to just read the verse so you can know that I just told the truth.
Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Ooh, ooh, you got laid off on your job, and you still look good. Ooh, you got fired, and you still eating. Oh, my God. They talked about you and you still got up in the morning and went to work. They like, who in the world you know? Because I would have never been able to survive that. They might not tell it to your face, baby, but they talking to somebody about your life. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You're a reality show for the kingdom.
Ooh, they had a petition against you, and they were sending letters about you, and you still got that building. Oh, Jesus. Oh.
That was for me.
When you bow, you're planting a seed in the life of people. Because when you stand in opposition and they see the power of God, and especially when you humble and you're not arrogant and you don't go around bragging about everything you do, and God begins to exalt himself through your life, you're planting a seed in the kingdom.
See, until a dandelion gets blown apart by the wind, other dandelions can't live because the seeds get blown away. The reason why they pierced Jesus in his side and they stretched him wide and every joint in his body was dislocated because the anointing needed to get broken out of him. The hell you going through is breaking the alabaster box in your life. The hell you going through is breaking you so you can have a witness. See, you thought the anointing fell on you. See, we listen to these songs and they sound good. Lord, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. The Spirit don't fall on you. The Spirit is already in you. It says the anointing will flow up out of you like rivers of living water, but it can't get out of you if you ain't cracked and if you ain't broken. If you're not broken, the anointing cannot get out of you. Some of y'all too whole. Some of y'all ain't been through enough to do what I'm doing. Some of y'all ain't been through enough hell to preach. I don't care how old you are. I might be 43, baby, but I done been through some hell here. I done been through some hell somewhere else. I don't care how old you are, baby. You might not have my experience. Until you go through the hell I went through, you ain't gonna understand why God anoints me. You ain't gonna understand why God keeps blessing me. You gotta understand that when you go through hell, God is just making a witness in your life. You gotta be broken. You gotta be broken. My enemies made me. My haters helped form me. My scandalous helped contour me. Hey! I love my haters because they made me better. Until you go through hell, you show me an anointed man, a woman of God. I show you a life of hell, challenges, turmoil, and opposition. Show me somebody with wisdom. I show you somebody who's been broken, ostracized, scandalized, lied on. I love it. I'm glad God keep a few demons in the church to keep me on my knees. I don't put no demons out. Stay here. And if you get mad, you a demon. Don't nobody get offended but who God talking about. Jesus, I'm trying to preach and get out of here. Acts 4:31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God
boldly. Sometimes God got to shake your life up to get the anointing out of you. God is shaking you up. How y'all don't hear me? What did Paul tell Peter? I mean, Timothy, he said, stir up the gift. And if you ain't stirring it by yourself, God will do you like 007. If you won't stir up your gift, he'll let you be shaken and not stirred. But either way, God gonna get his glory out of your life. Whether you like it or not, whether you submit or not, he will get his glory. I'm trying to get out of here. Help me, brother organist. Help me. Woo! Stand firm. Shout it. Woo, let me read this scripture one more time and get up out of here. Jesus. Y'all got to understand, I'm somewhere else. I know we Baptist, but I'm walking in the Holy Ghost now. I know we Baptist, but I've been at Pentecost every Sunday. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has in store for this house. Maybe not here, but this body of believers, God is about to use you to change the trajectory of what's going on in Charlottesville. To change the trajectory of what's going on in the White House. God is about to anoint you and appoint you for his business. I'm trying. I'm trying. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the power. I feel the Holy Ghost. How? I need to have a talk with you, Reverend. How? I don't need no non-anointed preachers in the pulpit with me. You gotta have an anointing. You gotta be able to pray or stay in the audience because I need power. I can't preach like this with everybody. I can't preach like this with everybody you put up here. Some folk don't even like me and sit right here. If you're a hater, stay on the sidelines. You can't be in the game with me no more. I can deal with haters out there, but I can't have you up here with me no more. And if you don't like me, don't come up here because I'm going to call you out because God is about to take us somewhere else. God. I can't keep bringing my enemies with me. I know you're going to be there in my presence, but I can't drag you along no more. It's tiring. I'm a drum major, and when I blow the whistle, I don't need to look back no more. When I blow the whistle, beep, 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 you need to march with me. I'm not looking back at you no more. I'm looking toward the hills from which cometh my help. Ow! Whoo! Sunday, no. Got time for haters. I know you out there, but you can't walk with me. Stop calling me and acting like you praying for me. I can't deal with it no more. Stop it. I see you. Stop. Stop telling me crazy stuff and sending me LOLs. Stop sending me smiley faces with your hateful messages. Stop. Shh. Oh, shut me up.
And some of y'all think praying tongues out of order. I got the mic. It's in order. And God dealing with me, with your traditional self. Know the word. Woo! Now, I don't know if this sermon for y'all or for me. I think I'm getting delivered right here from the spirit of fear. I think I'm getting delivered right here from trying to be accepted by folk who would never accept me, by people who would never like anything I do. Even when I get some folk exactly what they want, they still complain about it. So I'm at the point now in my life that you either with me or you're not. You either for God or not. And if you're against the business of the kingdom, you can go not to heaven but the other place and get, oh, y'all don't hear me, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I ain't got time. I'm about my Father's business. I ain't here to be your friend. I'm here to do the work of the one that sent me here. I know I ain't Jesus, but he sent me here on that midnight train from Georgia. You ain't my mama. You ain't my daddy. You ain't my grandmama. So stop calling me, trying to rebuke me about your silliness. Sorry, first time visitor. I do apologize. Back to our regularly scheduled program. Acts 4:32 and through 37. All the believers were in heart, in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possession was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. See, that's the problem. Remember Dunkin' Donuts? I don't know. Some of y'all love Dunkin' Donuts. Yes, appreciate you. I know. But see, Dunkin' Donuts got away from coffee, and they tried to do just donuts. I know they ain't Starbucks, but it's called Dunkin' Donuts for what? You dunk your donuts in the coffee. And they got away from the main thing. The main thing was coffee and the donuts you dunked in them. How can you call it Dunkin' Donuts if you ain't got nothing to dunk them in? And see, when they began, the apostles began to focus on Jesus and not the crowd and kept the main thing, and lifted Jesus up here and say, I draw all men unto you. I ain't got time to be trying to deal with all these cliques and make y'all accept me no more. Only thing I can do is preach Jesus. If you ain't got Jesus by now, bless your child, and I see you on the other end of the by and by. Come on, somebody. I ain't got time to keep spoon feeding you. I ain't got time. I need to be about my Father's business. I need to be about the work of Jesus Christ. I ain't got time to keep going to your house, having silly meetings, having crazy text message parties, emailing me back and forth about your silliness. If you're going to get on board with the vision, or you're going to get left behind, because I got to be about, Peter and John said, should I listen to you or God? You be the judge. You know, I'm going to ask y'all right now, should I listen to you or God? Huh? All of y'all mouth ain't moving, but I don't care. Are you going, am I going to listen to you or God? I wonder how good 11 o'clock going to do with this. But I don't know what's going to happen at 11. Because God just moving, because this ain't even the sermon. Thank you, Brother Organist. You helping me out, bro. Whew. I'm going to leave that. Y'all read that on your own. When we stand firm for God and pray to him, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to stand together and let our light shine. Opposition in Charlottesville, whether you black or white, green or purple, you should be disturbed. But the problem is, will you be bold enough to stand? I'm not just talking to my black clergy, I'm talking to my white clergy. Are you going to be bold enough to stand? Are you scared that if you step against the status quo, you will lose your members? When there's an authentic move of the Holy Ghost, sometimes God will flush some crazy folk out and bring some better folk back in. Not, oh, y'all don't hear me, that didn't sound good, but that's what it is. Because some folk that act like hell still going to heaven because they know Jesus. So most of the folk that leave church a crazy way, they're going to heaven. They just messed up here. They just want their way. They know Jesus, so when they leave, I don't care. Only time I run and go find out why somebody left, if it was a new member that just got saved, because I know ain't nothing but a church person that ran them out. When old school folk leave that's been a Christian forever, they leave, I don't look for them. Bye. Have you ever wondered why Jesus called the church folk devils and the unchurched folk brother and sister? Very seldom has a sinner lied on me. That's why folk don't go to church, because they done sat beside somebody who don't have any power. That's why I'm saying, I know y'all love each other, but don't sit by people. I need y'all to start sitting by haters for me, so you can keep their mouth from tainting the other folk. I need you to start sitting beside your good friend that you know, right? I need you to start sitting beside some folk that fuss all day. Folk that text me doing service. I need y'all to sit by them. I don't know if this one's going to make the YouTube publication. This might not make the cut, but it's going to make it here. Come back next week. I promise you it'll be a different way. She probably like, why I bring him here today? He, I don't know what, he usually ain't like that. I think I done said enough. Let me go down here to my closing. I done hooped and hollered enough. I'm tired now, man. I'm old. God is faithful and wants us to be the light everywhere we go. You're supposed to be salt. Remember, salt changes the flavor of some things, but preserves some things that need to be preserved. Salt is everywhere. Salt is in your clothes. Salt is in your hair, on your face. Salt is on the ground. Salt is everywhere. You're supposed to be the light everywhere. The problem with the church is, and how I'll preach a sermon on this, we've lost our saltiness. If some folk ain't salty around you sometimes, you ain't doing your job. I ain't saying purposely make somebody bad, but you know what I mean. If people not salty around you sometimes, that means that anointing is not ignited around them.